don't let that confuse you. We're trying to do everything that we're being told to do, and we're trying to still have church. So just be patient, and I thank you for your patience. Thank you, guys. And what I've learned in this coronavirus, and I'm trying to less and less give it more glory because I don't believe in glorifying things that are not doing us any good. I'm not going to glorify it too much in this sermon, but what I can say is that God has still been God even in the middle of corona. He's still been God. And so I thank God there's been so much favor poured out, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful to get to preach my first sermon in this building. And you know, I'm a Facebook person, and I'm trying to not be on it too much, but I'm on it quite a bit. I'm not going to lie to you. And I saw something early in the week, and it ministered to me so much that it continued to minister to me all throughout the week. And it was a post, and it said, "God, heal me from the things that I can't even talk about." God, heal me from the things that I can't even talk about. And when I saw that, it ministered to me so much, because it really made me realize that, you know, so many times believers, they're walking around and they're really hurting. And there's things that are so deep in us that we can't even talk about them to get them out of us to be able to move on with our lives. There's people that you haven't grieved. Maybe you haven't grieved to death. There's marriages that have dissolved, and maybe you haven't been able to grieve. There's people that you're disappointed in. They let you down. You haven't grieved over that. You haven't let it take its process. There's things that when you even think about them, they just enrage you because you're still mad about it. You're still holding a grudge over it. You haven't walked in forgiveness in that. And today I want to preach to you this morning about God healing the things that you can't even talk about. See, there's things in me that I cannot even talk about, because, angel, they'll get me a type of way that I don't want to be. But what I've realized is that what God reveals, God can heal. What God reveals, God can heal. See, it's time for the Christian to stop brushing over things and acting like everything's fine when you know that everything's not fine. That's where you start walking in denial. I don't believe in walking in denial because it confuses people. I don't believe in faking it till you make it because that also is confusing. I believe in keeping it real. Keep it real. And you know what? The things that you can't talk about, I hope that under the sound of my voice that God begins to show you this morning. Because whatever He reveals to you, God can heal it. We all have those things that are holding us up. We all have those roots of bitterness that are getting us to where we cannot move forward. See, I know that there's things in my life that God says, "Kelly, the moment that you'll get over those things, you're going to be able to move on." Look here. We all got some working out to do. The Bible says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling." Many times people like to look at somebody else and they want to work out somebody else's salvation. And I want to tell you this morning that your husband is not going to be the essence of your joy. Your wife is not going to be everything that's making you happy. You're going to have moments in your life where you're mad at your mama. You're mad at your daddy. You're mad at your kids. You're mad at God. And I'm here to tell you right now that whatever God reveals, God can heal it. But it's time, amen, it's time for you to start walking in that denial like nothing's wrong and you're going to fake it till you make it, because that is not of God. No, you better quit that faking, because you're going to confuse yourself. And when I came across that post, I said, "God, in Jesus' name, God, heal me from those things that I've held for a long time. God, those things that I'm still holding that grudge over, God, help me. God, heal the things in me that I cannot even talk about." Because every time I even think about them, I get messed up over it emotionally. I want to minister this morning on emotional healing. We're going to look in Psalms chapter 13 and verse 2. And I want to tell you that every bit of the word is true. Line upon line and precept upon precept, everything in God's word, you can take it to the bank. It's all true and it's all for you. There's not a problem that you have that's not in the word of God. And there is nothing new under the sun. People have been having emotional problems from the beginning of time. People have had hard times working them out from the beginning of time. See, God doesn't want you bound up. He said, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And many times, God's kids are walking around and they're bound up. See, a couple years ago when I really just surrendered to God, I'll never forget the first day of this. I stood up and I said, God doesn't want you living in bondage. But when I said those words out of my mouth, I recognized that I was living in bondage. See, it's time to start living what we represent. You represent God. I put a post on Facebook and I don't apologize about it. If I ever put something on Facebook, I'm not reneging on it. I'm not taking it back. I'm kind of like Donald Trump. What I say is how I feel. I won't put it out there if that ain't how I feel about it. What you say, how you live, what you put on Facebook, you represent yourself. You represent your pastors. You represent your church. But most importantly, you represent God Almighty. Of course, some people didn't like that. Why? Because they was the guilty ones. I ain't going to move back from that comment either. What I can tell you is this right here. Live what you're supposed to be living like. I about said preach, and you know what? It is preach. We all preaching. We all preaching by the way we live in our lives. Live what you preach. It's the hardest thing to do. If you're going to minister to people, if you're going to live your life and give people hope and say, you know what? There's hope for you. Then you know what? You walk in that same hope and get free today. Get free from those things that are hurting you and keeping you bound up. In Psalms chapter 13, verse 2. And I love David because David knows and he knew how to keep it real. All throughout the Psalms, you see him 1 minute up and 1 minute down. 1 minute up and 1 minute down. Well, that's pretty much how life is. 1 minute he was saying, God help me, everything's going wrong. The next minute he was saying, oh, everything's just great. My enemies are all getting what they deserve. And he was just happy. But then the very next chapter, he'd be down again. Amen. That's just how it goes. That's how life is. Life is very messy. Life is messy, Aunt Patty. It's messy. It is so messy. And I'm realizing just how messy it is. Psalms chapter 13 and verse 2. And it says, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts? And what I can tell you right now is that there are people that are going to hear this message in years to come. And I'm talking to you. I'm ministering to you today. There are folks under the sound of my voice right now. And all of this stuff is going on in your thought life. It's going on in your thought life. See, you're bound up and you're hurting on the inside. There's some things that you feel like I can't let them go. I was telling somebody the other day, my biggest problem is that I can't let anything go. See, very few places are you going to go to where your pastor just stands up and they just tell you what their problem is. Look here. You're looking at somebody that grew up in the ministry and I don't care how I look because I'm going to tell it. Why? Because the only thing that will ever set people free is the truth. The truth will set you free every single time. And it's only when ministers and leaders get behind a desk here and they begin to tell you everything's perfect when it's not perfect. I'm here to tell you everything's not perfect, but God wants to heal some of those emotional problems that you're having. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? Now, some of the issue is the child of God is sitting there every day, multiple hours in the day, and they're wrestling. There's a tug of war going on in you, and you're wrestling with those thoughts. See, the devil will plant things in your thought life. The devil will get you mad at somebody that you really love. The devil gets you into some things. And I'm going to tell you, then you begin the wrestle. See, you ever have to wrestle something all day, every day? You know what I'm talking about? It's a wrestle. See, the battle belongs to the Lord, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's what we got to realize. Most of our problems we like to pin on other people. Well, I'm mad at this person. They did such and such. My ex did this. Why are we talking about exes? Because lots of people have them. Once again, I'm not going to sugarcoat things. We're going to talk about real subjects. Why? Because nothing less is going to help y'all. Lots of people. We got problems, and them problems have to do with other people. And what happens is we get in our head, and then what happens, Diane, is we live in our head, and we live in our emotions, and we live by the five senses of what we see, taste, feel, hear, smell. Let me tell you something. God has something better. He has a supernatural, abundant life for his kids where you don't got to walk around feeling down just because you went into a restaurant and heard a country song. Oh, they killed my dog. I mean, have you ever, I was sitting at the steakhouse yesterday for my dinner, my birthday dinner, and in the same song, they were talking about Jesus and drinking and everything else, and I was thinking, what am I listening to? Because I started to realize that I was getting kind of depressed, and I was thinking, man, this is my birthday. Why am I feeling this way? And then I started listening to what I was listening to, and that I felt like telling that restaurant, you just need to turn that off. I don't want to hear about Jesus and drinking in the same song. Now, look here. I'm not a religious fanatic that says you can't have a drink, but you know what? I don't want to hear that stuff up on my birthday in eating my steak dinner. I'd prefer not to hear that. Let's keep it real. Let's keep it real. Lots of us, we got a wrestling going on. It's the thing that when you get by yourself, your thoughts are on it. It's the thing in the morning. It's waiting there for you. It's the thing at night that's going to keep you up. It's the people that anytime you even think about them, you're just enraged instantly. It's the people that did you wrong. It's the people that disappointed you. It's the people that they should have been behind you and they weren't. See, we're going to talk about some real stuff today. Why? Because, see, what God wants you to do is live happy, and he wants you to have joy, and he doesn't want you being wrapped up in your feelings all the time. See, he made us in his image. God himself, he has feelings. He has emotions, but we can't live in them. We can't live in them. That's not what he has for us. And so in Psalms chapter 13 and verse 2, it says, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? Now look here. I wouldn't be preaching this word if this was not for somebody. And the person that this is for, what I would tell you is right here. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the very first day of the rest of your life. See, when Moses asked Pharaoh, when do you want this to go away? And he was so arrogant, and he said, tomorrow. That was the wrong answer. That was the wrong answer. See, God's talking to people, and he's saying, see, when are you going to wake up in the morning and you choose my promises? See, God's looking for somebody to wake up every morning and to take him for everything that he's worth. Brother Mike, I've gone through so much adversity over the past 3 years, but what I can tell you is it has developed in me a very tender spot for who God is, because see, when it counted the most, he was the one constant thing. God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never turn his back on you. And I'm here to tell you, I'm going to burst your bubble. Here it comes. We need to stop looking at people like they got all the answers. We put these people on very high pedestals, and you're setting yourself up for a letdown. I'm not telling you not to look up to people, but what I'm telling you is this right here. You need to look to God. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. We need to know what God says for us, and we need to know what He says that we can have. And what we can have is a life where we're not torn up all the time. I've had days in my life, I've had periods and phases of my life where I did have that sorrow in my heart every day, all day. What we have to do is we have to wake up, literally, and realize that God is exactly who He said that He is. When God tells you, you can forgive somebody, and that be that, we have to do that. Forgiveness is the hardest thing that you'll ever do. There's something about forgiveness when you do it. If you're anything like me and you're a fighter, you almost feel like you're losing when you're forgiving somebody because you're like, they're getting away with something if I don't hold this grudge. Let me tell you something. Nobody gets away with anything. Nobody gets away with anything is what I've learned. And so it says, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts? What you've got to ask yourself today, how long do I want to live like this? How long do I want to suffer emotionally? How long do I want to be sad all the time? How long do I want to walk in that depression all the time? How long do I want to be angry? See, there's people, they angry. And they blaming it on everybody else but them. Look here, some of us just got an anger issue. We got to work that out. We got to work it out. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? Look here, when God designed you, He didn't design you to be sad all the time. He didn't design you to be angry all the time. He didn't just design you to just feel bad about yourself. When He calls you the apple of His eye, when He says, look here, that one I've set apart and I've called them by name, we got to take what God says about us to the bank. Psalms chapter 16 and verse 11. And it says, you have made known to me the path of life. I was talking to somebody last night. I talked to him for about an hour and a half. And they said, Pastor, I just don't know which way to go. You know how many people feel that way? There are people, they don't know which way to go with some decisions that you're trying to make. Let me tell you something. My sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. My sheep, they hear my voice, and a stranger they're not going to follow. Sometimes you got to work to hear the voice of God. Why? Because you've let so much junk in. We've let so much garbage in. You can't even watch a Hardee's commercial without looking at a half-naked woman. Now you tell me what a half-naked woman has to do with that cheeseburger and then I'll be happy because I don't know. You know? We let a lot of junk into our lives. Mike, I love that mask because it looks like you're smiling at me. Y'all all need that mask, okay? I mean, we let stuff in and we don't even realize that we're letting junk in. Let me just tell you, junk in and junk out. You're going to let it in, it's going to come out. If I didn't, Aunt Patty, I'm not preaching up here because I got everything right. I'm preaching up here because I'm the loudmouth little girl that God said you'd go do this with your life. And He's groomed me since I was a baby. What we got to realize is that, you know what? Life is so beautiful. That don't spit in God's face every day by being unhappy every day. There's some things that we emotionally, we need some healing from. They've been wrong for a long time. They've been wrong. When we think about them, will just have a bad day instantly. God, heal me from the things that I can't even talk about. See, there's things in us. We can't even talk about those things because we're so tore up about them still. There's things, if you get me to talking about them, they happened a long time ago. My husband always says, Kelly, you're the craziest woman I know. You don't even remember what you ate 10 minutes ago, but you get to talking about such and such, and you'll tell it to me verbatim. You'll tell me what they was wearing when they done what they did. You'll tell me the color of your toenails when they was doing what they was doing. He said, girl, I don't know, man. You weird. Isn't it funny how we remember? You know, I don't have the best memory that I used to have, but you get me to talking about something that I still ain't let go and that I ain't healed up from, and I'll remember it verbatim. That's when you know you need some healing. Okay? See, there's some things that God wants to erase, even the memory of them. Even the memory of them. Why? He don't even want you having a memory of that thing that hurt you so bad. There's healing in this place this morning. Let's go to Psalms 34, chapter 17, or Psalms 34, verse 17. And I actually, hold on to that. I'm going to back up and I'm going to finish my thought on this verse. And it says, you have made known to me the path of life. And there's a lot of people, they don't know which way to go. I spent an hour and a half on the phone last night helping this person. And what I ended up giving them was this verse, which is Psalms chapter 16, verse 11. You've made known to me the path of life. The path of life. There's a path of life that only God can make known to us. In Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. Many people, they get saved and they say, I never felt like I feel now. I feel like I'm actually living for the very first time. Because, see, any time that you're going to live outside of God and outside of the things that He has for you, you're not going to enjoy your life the way that He designed you to. You remember when you got saved and you looked around and everything looked brighter, everything looked better? See, go back to that moment where you realized how good God was. And then when you have those days where you realize there's things that you can't even talk about because you're bound up by them still, realize that God wants to take that out of you and make it go away from you. God doesn't want you living hurting and living bound up. Why? Well, I'll tell you why. Hurt people. If you're walking around hurting, you're going to have a day, and what you're going to do is you're going to hurt people you didn't want to hurt. You're going to say things that you didn't want to say. You're going to do things that you didn't want to do. Why? Because you never got that thing resolved. You never took care of that unfinished baggage. God wants people freed up because He wants to do something with your life. He wants to take you up a level that you haven't gotten to yet. Saved people, you know what saved people do? They serve people. They serve people. Forgiven people, they forgive people. Hurt people, they hurt people. That's why I'm asking you. Consider letting God heal the thing in you that you still can't even talk about. The thing that's got you so messed up. The thing that you can recall verbatim and it happened 10, 15 years ago and it still messes you up. So many times our future is affected because we're living in the past. We can't even get in the present because we're living in the past. It's time to step out of that and to live your life. Live it. He said, I've come that you'd have life and I came that you'd have it in abundance. In abundance. What is abundance? Inner healing. Inner healing and helping other people. serving other people, loving on people, and forgiving other people. Everybody messes up. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody lets people down. They don't mean to, but they do. It's life. Believers have to learn how to handle that life when it gets difficult. It says, you fill me with joy in your presence. Many people, they say, I'm just not happy. I'm sick of that one. Sister Buckethead, why did you do that? Well, I'm just not happy. Well, get happy. I mean, you know how many shenanigans are pulled because people just ain't happy? More than I can even say. Let me tell you something. If you ain't happy, that's something you need to work on, because it's not God's fault. It's not your kids' fault. It's not your husband or wife's fault. It's not God's fault. It's on you. I know that's some very hard preaching. It's very raw. But look here. You want joy? You have joy. There's a joy that you can have. Doesn't mean everything's going right. Means you've made the decision. You've made the decision. It's made. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Most people, they're very unhappy, Brother Mike, but one of the things that they will not do, they will not get in his presence. They want to say how unhappy they are, how fed up they are, how sick and tired they are. Well, let's get off of your phone. I was looking around yesterday, and everybody was on their phone at the restaurant. And I'm going, no wonder all these kids are having social problems, because we done taught them how to not be social. You ever go out with your spouse, and you're eating a nice romantic dinner, and you look up, and you notice you done ate all your supper, and you was on your phone the whole time, and then you looked over at them, and they was on their phone the whole time. Many people, we got some issues, and the issue is we won't even make time to be in his presence, but yet we're going to wonder and we're going to blame God why we got some problems that we got. We got them problems because we won't seek him out. We won't seek him. See, when you seek him, you're going to find him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things, they'll be added. See, we like to stress and worry and have anxiety about all these things that we wonder if this is going to happen, if it's going to work out. You know what? Why? How about seeking the kingdom of God first? See, God is the only one that can add to your life in any way. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. What does he take away? A lot of people, they don't like that. Well, he can take away some of that stuff that you've been carrying that he never designed for you to carry. You got to seek him out. The Word of God says, seek him while he may be found. If you don't think this is the end of days, then you need to get up in your Bible some more. And you need to get to reading. Get in there in Revelation. Get in there where it tells about what's going on in the end of days. We're living it. You have made known to me the path of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence. See, are you having an issue? That issue is going to be worked out in his presence. In his presence. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. We got to work some things out. There's things that if God said, let's talk about this, you'd say, God, I can't even talk about that thing. God's saying, child, I want you to get it out. I want you to get it out. I didn't design you to carry that emotional baggage. I want it out of you. I want it out of you. And it says that he will fill us with joy only in his presence. Make time for God. Make time for God. See, Before this corona, you couldn't find a place to sit in here on a Sunday morning. You know what's up? People playing the, I'm going to lay out a church game. I'm going to do all this other stuff. Let me tell you what, if you came here, you did the right thing. You did the right thing. Got people? I woke up and I felt a certain way, so I didn't come. Let me tell you something. You better get that business straightened out with God. You better get it straightened out. With eternal pleasures at your right hand. See, we got to make time for God. We got to make time for him. Let's go now to Psalm 34 and verse 17. And it says, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all of their troubles. God's not taken off guard when we have trouble. He's not. He knows that trouble's coming to us before it ever got there. That's why on the cross, it didn't say, oh, he played around with that sin. No, it says that he became the sin. See, when we want to think about worrying, which is a sin, when we want to think about holding the grudge, which is also a sin, when we want to think about having the unforgiveness, which is also a sin, and I'm preaching first and foremost to myself, we've got to take it. We've got to take that piece of that pie that's ours. Look here, he became that thing. He became it. Why? So we didn't have to live it. Patty, I was in my house the other day. Now, I'm going to walk the borders of this thing. Usually, I'd be up in your face. I'm going to refrain from this service. I'm going to try to go along with some things. I was in my house the other day, and I was a certain way. And God caught me. And he said, Kelly, there was a price that was paid so you didn't have to go around feeling the way that you're feeling. Angel, I said, God, forgive me. God, these feelings are not from you, and I rebuke them right now in Jesus' name. I rebuke them. I capture every thought captive that God is not from you, and I cast them down right now in Jesus' name. See, being a Christian, you got to get down and dirty. You got to get to calling the shots in your life and realize that, you know what? There's some things, you just full of it. Are you full of it? I am. There's some of the things, Patty, you get me on a bad day and I ain't going to act right. The difference is I'm not afraid to tell you that. Because look here, you know what I've learned, Michelle? That does not make me less of a pastor. That makes me more of a pastor. When a man or woman of God will just say, look at you and say, man, ooh, I'm rough around the edges sometimes, Joe. I am. And when I get that way, see, those that God loves, he chastises. Those that he loves, he's going to call you down on some things. Kelly, don't act like that. That is not what we're doing with your life. Okay, God, I'm sorry. Now, you know that person's a jerk, God. I mean, you know that, right? Sometimes I'm like, God, I'm going to change, but you know that, don't you? You know they're terrible. He's like, Kelly, quit talking about my kid. See? And it says here, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. God will hear you if you'll call out to him. He'll hear you. Not only will he hear you, but he'll heal you. You have not because you ask not. Ask God. At the beginning of the year, I said, God, what do you want me to ask for? He said, ask me for Logan County. I said, well, God, that sounds kind of conceited, don't you think? I can't repeat that. He said, yeah, you can because I'm giving it to you. Ask me for it, Kelly. Kelly, ask me for every drug addict. Ask me for every person that's sitting in a church and they ain't happy. Ask me. And I said, God, in Jesus' name, I plead the blood of Jesus over this city. I plead the blood of Jesus over this county. God, every drug addict that would walk into any other church in this city and be judged, God, I'm asking you to bring them in. God, bring them into Parish Christian Center. Why? Because I'm trusting that the people in here are going to love them. I can't love on all these people by myself. What does that mean? People are going to have to start coming to church again. That's what that means. Look here. It is what it is. These seats, I'm praying for every person. Brother Larry, there's a man notorious in this town, and he used to sit right where you're sitting, and I'm glad you're sitting there because I believe that the anointing breaks the yoke, and I thank God that there's a man of God sitting in his seat, because you know what? He's coming back in, and I've done prayed for him, and I've called his name out to God many times, and I've said, God, you help his family. God, you help that. You help them. You bring them kids. You bring that wife back to them. See, when the devil comes in with stuff and he uses the corona to do it, come on now, shake it off. Shake that off. See, the devil come in and steal families, devour up families, get you all emotionally broke up, get you irritated, get you mad. I've had times throughout this corona thing, I just woke up mad at people. I didn't even know why I was mad at them. I just picked them that particular day. God, I don't know why I'm mad at them, but I'm mad at them today. And y'all laughing, but you know you've done the same thing. Anybody throughout this corona, you got mad at somebody, you didn't even know why you was mad at them. Man, if you ain't voting, I don't know. I woke up irritated with people, and I'm thinking, why am I irritated? I haven't even seen them. It was just their day. It's their day to get mad at them. Ugh. It says, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them and he delivers them from all their troubles. And the Lord, I want to tell you this right here. This is one of my favorite verses. Because you know how many times the believer feels brokenhearted? Many times. Why? Because this life is hard that we're living. This life is difficult. It's not easy. It's not for the faint of heart. When things get rough, you don't give up. You bear down. You get your grip. You get your second wind, and you go on. Why? Because you're not at that point, Aunt Patty, we're not going off of our strength. We're going off of his. When you get your bearings down and you realize we're not going off of my own ability, right now we're going off of God's ability. And see, God has the ability to thrust you and pull you out of a bad situation. What he's waiting on is he's waiting for his kid to call out to him and to bear down and say, God, I'm ready. You get me up out of this. See, and God, see, many people, they want God to get them up out of the mess. And let me tell you something. When God gets you up out of that mess, don't you get yourself back in the mess. Don't you get yourself back in the mess. I told somebody, look here, you done took a lap around Mount Sinai again. And guess what? Your pastor loves you. Your church family, we love you. Come back to church. We're going to help you put your life back together. We're here to help you. But I'm going to ask you, how many more times do you want to go through this lap? Because, see, we're doing this on round two just since I met you. Now, I'm hoping that we're going to get your life, we're going to get your wife, and we're going to get your family, and we ain't going to go through this same lap again. Look here, God didn't create you to keep going through the same cycle. He created you to move on. We can't move on sometimes without that healing taking place. There's some healing needs to take some place. And it says, a righteous man, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. See, when you get brokenhearted and the devil's trying to tell you that you're all alone, that you're all by yourself, that nobody loves you, that nobody cares about you, that nobody understands you, look here. You know that's the devil talking to you because that is not the truth. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. And look here. When you take it to a step further than being brokenhearted and you're just crushed. Has anybody, you just ever been just crushed? Just absolutely, you felt like everything in your emotions was just demolished. What does it say about our God then? It says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. He saves them. You know how many times God's had to save me? I love those people that are like, I got saved when I was 2, and I don't need no more saving. Look here, I need saving every day. I got saved when I was 7, and Aunt Patty, you know how many times God's had to save me and get me out of some stuff? Many times. He's still getting me out of stuff. What I've learned is when he gets me out of that stuff, not to get myself back into that stuff. You don't always have to learn from experience. You don't always have to learn from doing that thing that you know ain't going to turn out right. See, when you know it ain't going to turn out right, don't just dive up into it. Just don't do it. Save yourself some heartache. Save yourself. And he is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those that are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles. You know, when I led Keisha into the sinner's prayer, I said, Keisha, I'm not that kind of pastor that's going to tell you that all of this is going to be easy. I wish I could tell you that you're not going to ever have another trial again when you get saved. What did I tell you? I said, this is hard. This is hard. But what I can guarantee you is you have a loving, gracious God there going through all the hard stuff with you. A God that when we get so deep in that he can just grab us out and say, okay, I'm saving you right now. See? Some of us, God's reached in that bucket so many times and he's pulled us out and he's saying, now look, stay out of that now. I'm getting you out. Stay out of that. You know? Last place for me, Psalms chapter 42. We're going to read this chapter. And it says here, turn that down just a smidge, boys. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. See, when's the last time that you talked to God like this? When's the last time that you just said, God, I've come to that place in my life that I realize there's things, God, that need to be healed in me. God, I can't even talk about those things. God, I can't even open the door to those emotions about that subject. God, I'm so hurt by that person. They let me down. When you're having a bad day and you think you're going to make it better just by reliving those moments that hurt you so bad, that's the kind of misery God's wanting to bring you up out of. You ever notice that when you're just having a bad day and for some reason you've decided that's the day to recall all that other stuff? You get yourself in a frame of mind, and then you want to just sit there and wallow in that mud like a little piggy. Well, I'm going to have a bad day. I'm just going to fall out, have a bad day. I'm going to rethink everything and relive every word everybody said. We need some healing. So my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God. For the living God. See, we're not serving a dead God that's not able to help us. We're serving a God that's able. Not only is he able, but he wants to. A lot of people picture God as some big, mean God wanting to whack them over the head, be mean to them because they made mistakes. That's not God. God's the one saying, I love that one. I love that one. Says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God, and when can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night. See, some of us have cried so many tears, God holds each tear in the very palm of his hand. He holds each tear. What does that mean? He's gone through it with you. He's gone through it with you. God feels every feeling that you're feeling. Why? Because it says that he's inside of you. His very life, his very breath is inside of you. My tears have been my food day and night, and while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. Now in Psalms 23, the Word of God says, He restores my soul. What we're reading here, as I pour out my soul. Brenda babe, there's things that get up in our soul and the devil put them there. There's things that God says, I want to take them up out of you because they don't belong up inside of you because you're a child of God. See, I'm talking about those things this morning. How does that stuff come out? Pour yourself out to God. Pour yourself out. Get alone with God. Get in His presence. In His presence, you're going to meet the fullness of joy. In His presence, those things that you never thought you could get over, God begins to help you get over them. Not only can you get over them, but you can get that barren memory up out of you. See, God wants to take some memories out of some people. Why? Because He don't want you having that instant recall of what they did. Because it's hindering you. As I pour out my soul, a lot of people think, I don't know how to feel God. I don't know how to talk to God. Well, how do you talk to me? Talk to Him that same way. Begin to talk to Him. Tell God. You know, get up in the morning and say, God, I love you. God, I'm really messed up. God, I don't want to be messed up anymore. God, I don't want to feel like this anymore. God, I just want to go on and live my life and give you glory. God, help me to do that. What does God do? He meets you right up in that place where you're lacking. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. We all have shortcomings. I got people I need to forgive. I got people I need to stop holding that grudge. Why? You know how I know it? Because when I think about them, I can't think about them for longer than a split second. I'll be messed up for the rest of the day. Why are we preaching about this? Because some of us, we're living in this too much. God don't want you living in sadness. He wants you living and being happy. As I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? See, David began to talk to himself, and he said, look here, soul, why are you down? The very first step to emotional healing is realizing that you need it. Realizing that you need it. See, he said to himself, now why are you down? Why are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? You ever just notice you're disturbed? You're thinking, man, I'm really disturbed in more than one way. I'm a little bit more irritated about this thing than I thought. I'm a little bit more hurt by this person than I thought. I'm more angry about this situation than I thought. And it says, why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. For I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Look what he's saying here. He's saying, look, I recognize, God, that I'm this way. I recognize that my soul is in despair. I recognize that there's something not quite right. But God, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pour myself out to you. I'm going to pour myself out to you. God, I know that as I begin to pour myself out, God, what I also do is I remember and I stand upon every promise that you've ever given me. See, when you're troubled, remember you have a God that took on that trouble so you didn't have to. He took that on so you could look and you could say, God, when everything was going wrong 6 months ago, you made it right. When the family problem looked like it would never be made whole again, God, who did that? God, you did it. God, you did it. Amen? See, when we get down, we have a short memory and we forget what God did. We got to remember what God did, what God brought you up out of. The same God that did that, He'll do it again. He'll do it over and over and over. There's no sense in making yourself emotionally miserable and sad all the time. Pour yourself out. Talk to God. Say, God, I'm messed up about this. God, I'm hurting over this. Remember in the Bible where God, a man said, God, I believe, but help my unbelief. God, I'm your child. I don't want to be like this, but God, I'm like this right now. Help me. Save me. Deliver me from this. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul, and why so disturbed within me? See, what David was doing is he was talking this thing out. He was talking it out. Him and God, they were having a talk. They were having a talk. Some people, what you need is you need to have that talk with Jesus that you've been postponing. Go ahead and have the talk. He's ready. He's ready for that talk. Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. Your hope is not in another human being. We get very messed up over what people do, say, how they act, how they betray us, how they disappoint us, how they discourage us, how they let us down. Put your hope in God. He will never let you down. He will never leave you. He's never going to make you feel like you're not good enough. Put your hope in him. For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Now I want to say this morning, this was a subject very close to me. I suffer with this. There's things that I just need to let them go. Why this flesh wants to hold on to them, I don't know. But I know one thing. I'm tired of living that way. When I'm living that way, I'm bound up in a lot of ways. And what I can say to you this morning is that God wants to begin a healing in your life. God wants to help you. There's things that the devil came into your life and he took those things and he took them one day at a time, emotionally. People walking around say, oh, I can't trust anybody. Everybody's terrible. No, everybody's not terrible. You had a bad experience. Let's not make it any more than that. If I've preached to you this morning and you say, you know, there's some things and I need some of that deep, emotional, inner healing, I'm going to ask that you stand. God's going to begin a healing process in you this morning. I don't have to go around to each person and touch you because I believe that God's already touched you. I believe that God's already came down and began that process with you. God, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for every person, Lord, that's responded to your word, and they need that word in there. They need that inner healing. God, I rebuke the devil off of their life, God, to create havoc, to wreak havoc, to keep them bound up in sadness and despair and irritation and anger and agitation. And God, I call that inner healing forth right now in their emotions. God, I speak freedom to each and every single person in here. God, for the people, Lord, they're a part of this body, and the reason they're out is because they're hurting so bad emotionally they can't even come up in your house. God, I ask that you draw them back in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you as your peace and as your healing begin to sweep over every heart in here this morning. God, I thank you for it. God, I ask that you would touch each and every one of your children in here. God, give them peace right now in Jesus' name. Amen.